Good evening. Suicide rates increased 30% between 2000 and 2018 and declined in 2019 and 2020. I wonder why. Suicide is the leading cause of death in the United States with 45,979 deaths in 2020. This is about one death every 11 minutes. The number of people who think about or attempt suicide is even higher. In 2020, an estimated 12.2 million American adults seriously thought about suicide. 3.2 million planned a suicide attempt, and 1.2 million attempted suicide. Suicides affect all ages. In 2020, suicide was among the top 9 leading causes of death for people ages 10, yes, 10 through 64. And suicide was the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 through 14 and 25 through 34. Suicide and suicide attempts cause serious emotional, physical, and economic impacts. People who attempt suicide and survive may experience serious injuries that have long-term effects on their health. They may also experience depression and other mental health concerns. The good news is more than 90% of people who attempt suicide and survive never go on to die by suicide. Welcome to Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. Let's Do It Radio segment of Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It topic when suicide doesn't work. I am your hostess of the evening, CEO and fashion designer of Anaïs Valcou Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Call into the show to partake, joining the conversation, or just want to be an active listener at 845-241-9985. And let's talk about it. We have some wonderful guests with amazing stories of suicide survival. So we will get into their stories. But first, let me introduce Laquita Parks, CEO of Pay Pro V Publishing out of Riverdale, Georgia, who is the key instrument of getting these wonderful guests to join this evening's show. Let's give her a round applause. You know what I'm saying? Clap for her. Come on, guys. We want to clap for our guests.
Now, you know what, Inez, that is too funny. You know, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me join you again.
You are welcome.
And you know what, I was thinking, how do we break the ice? Because this is such a heavy topic. So I appreciate that, because that made me laugh, because I was in a heavy place. Thank you so much for having me. I am Laquita Parks. I am the owner of Pay Pro V Publishing, and Pay Pro V means change, progress, victory, because I believe without pain, there's no progress, and without progress, there can be no victory. So I help people take their stories from a thought to a realization. And this topic is really important, because writing is therapeutic. So we have some people who are going to tell their stories, their experiences with family, or with their experiences with depression. And telling your story is a part of therapy. So writing that story and helping, because I believe that there is always somebody on the other side of your story waiting to get healing from their story. So I want to encourage any listeners, if there's anybody that's listening and you feel weighted down by your story, this is a platform for you to talk about it. Seek help if you need to, and write your story. So I'm so very, very glad to be here. Thank you again, Inez. And, hey, this is a much needed, it's a heavy topic, but certainly, certainly needed.
Yes. Thank you. And before we do get started with our guests, Our suicide survivor guests are Anthony Wallace, Lachelle Adkins, and Julius Jackson. They're going to take us down their paths and talk about their survival stories. Suicide is a tragedy that has an effect on the entire world. And for those of you out there who are listening and who need a suicide prevention lifeline, that number is 800-273-8255 or 800-273-TALK. And that provides a 24/7 free and confidential support for people in distress, prevention, and crisis resources for you and your loved ones, and the best practices for professionals in the U.S. And as of July 16th, coming up in 2020, there's going to be a new number. It's like a 911 number, but it's 988, and it will route directly to the Prevention Lifeline. So call in at 845-241-9985, as I'm going to give Ms. Laquita Parks, CEO of PayProV Publishing. She's going to welcome our guest. I'm going to give her another round of applause. Yes, because it's always good. It's always that, you know, break the ice, you know, clap if everybody, for everybody. So thank you. Yes. Thank you. Go ahead, Lachelle. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Laquita, and introduce our guest for the evening.
So thank you so much again, Inez. I want to introduce, and I guess I'll just go ahead and introduce them all and then let them introduce themselves and give their story, tell their stories, and then have an opportunity to ask questions. So I'd like to introduce and welcome our first guest, Mr. Anthony Wallace. Anthony he has an amazing story. He is an author. He is a motivational speaker, just a plain encourager. And he has his own story, which he'll share. Anthony is from Cincinnati, Ohio. And then I have another guest, Lachelle Adkins, just such an awesome person, Miss America Supermom herself. And, y'all, she got 15 kids.
Lord Jesus, help her.
And so she has an amazing, amazing platform on mental health. She is a blessing to anybody. She has helped many, many people to move up and get to that next level, including myself. And Julius Jackson, I don't know if Julius is on the phone. Julius, are you there?
There's some people. I'm going to unmute your lines, but I want to for you to go ahead and introduce them, and then I'm going to go through and see who is on our line so we can have them speak as well. So thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. So I have Mr. Julius Jackson. He is also one of our guests, and I've known Julius. Julius and I went to high school together, and so he has an amazing story I won't say survival. I'll say overcoming whatever those obstacles that took them down that dark path. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and let Anthony Wallace go ahead and introduce himself.
Okay, go ahead, Anthony.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
How are you this evening? All right.
Good, welcome.
Thank you so much. Okay, I wanted to quote the poem first. It's called Suicide is a Gateway to Eternal Loss. It's definitely a dead end. The poem, here goes. Here I sit with a gun cocked in my head. I figure out that somehow I'm better off dead. My life seems a wreck and there is no peace. So I shall end it all and be found deceased. Lights out, total darkness, the bullet into them. Never again shall I see the light of day again. For a brief moment, I found rest from my troubled mind. All of a sudden, my eyes are open, and I'm not blind. I see myself floating swiftly to that eternal light. Before I knew it, I ended up in eternal night. Darkness, people screaming, and now I'm gripped with fear. I beg of you, don't take your life. Please don't come here.
That was amazing.
Snap. You do the little snaps, you know, like you do for snap, snap, snap for the poetry. Yes, yes.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. That
and
poem,
you wrote that?
That poem speaks volumes of the life that I've lived. You know, my first suicide attempt was at 13. Very
Excuse
depressed.
Me, you said first?
Living my first time, yes.
I
tried
Lord
a couple
Jesus.
Of times. I was 13. Mm-hmm. I had a very, mm-hmm. very abusive stepfather. So he was very,
okay.
very abusive. My mother didn't protect me from. I didn't know who my dad was. I just found out who my dad was 7 years ago. So I was targeted. So he was able to do a lot of harmful things to me, bend my fingers back when I was a little boy. Each finger, he would bend them back, and he would just watch. And I felt like I had nowhere to run. And so I remember at 13 going to the mm-hmm. bathroom and looking in the medicine
uh-huh.
cabinet and just taking all these pills. And I didn't want to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, mm-hmm. I woke up.
Mercy.
Of course, you
mercy,
know,
mercy.
Life continued, you know. Yeah, life mm-hmm. continued. And you know, there was a lot of ups and downs. And, of course, I ended up getting addicted to alcohol. And and as a result, you know, I dealt with a lot of depression. And then there was another suicide attempt that I had, taking a bunch of sleeping pills, didn't want to wake up. And I remember I could hear in the emergency room, I could hear voices, I could hear people talking, but I could not
mm-hmm.
wake up. And by the grace of God, I woke up. So I want to thank God, because regardless to what you
yes.
go through in life, because all of us go through ups, downs, highs, and lows, God is a God
uh-huh.
of second chances, and sometimes third chances.
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
The background that I've went through, not having the father,
mm-hmm.
not having those things that I needed to help catapult me into manhood, was creating
uh-huh.
in me a lot of bitterness, a lot of hatred, a whole lot of things, just not having that father. So it ended up having an effect on me in my adult life. But the Bible says in the book of, I think in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 6, I think it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. So I just thank God that he's given me a mind to continue to go forth, a mind to continue to go forth. And the man that I am now is only as a result of what God has done. I got an opportunity
Amen.
To meet my dad. I got an opportunity to meet my dad. He flew here from California. That was always my prayers, because having an abusive stepfather wasn't good. Didn't
mm-hmm.
teach me anything. Just a lot of things he taught
right.
me was toxic. A lot of toxic stuff. But when God answered my prayers to meet my father, it did bring a lot of closure and brought a lot of healing. So I just
okay.
want to thank God that I'm still here. I'm still alive, only
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Mm. Amen.
All right.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
Wow. And Mr. Wallace, we're going to come back to you, because I know there are a lot of questions we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to have American Supermom Lachelle Atkins to introduce herself and tell us a little bit about you, Miss American Supermom.
Well,
yes.
thank you so much for having me. It is really a blessing. You know, one of the things that I have learned on my journey is to talk about the hard things. That
mm-hmm.
is what helps you to grow and to be better. So, yes, you mentioned I am America's Supermom. My husband and I have 15 children. And
my journey
is, you know, I struggled with depression for 13 years. I was hospitalized 3 times. And it was the losing of my identity that really had me on a downward spiral. And, you know, as a result of being hospitalized, you know, I'm not sure what state of mind it has put on my children, but I have a daughter
uh-huh.
who has overcome, or she's working through, suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. She's been hospitalized, too. She's 22. And, you know, I'm all about really sharing my story, because I think it's so important for women
mm-hmm.
especially to have a strategy for living. You know, I think we are
right.
capable of doing a lot of things. We're multitasking and being
mm-hmm.
all things to all people. But it shouldn't be at the expense of our own health and wellness. And so I'm all about really educating women to understand that depression looks different for everybody. You know, it's important to be able to check in with yourself and know what are some of the warning signs, some of the things that, you know, you may be thinking or routines that really have you in a rut and sometimes stuck, you know, so that you can get some help, ask for help. You know, I was an only child, so I didn't know how to ask for help. I was very driven in terms of academics, very successful, quote unquote, in the minds of a lot of people. But, you know, when it comes to life skills in some aspects, I was definitely at a disability, understanding how to cook, how to manage my time and be there for a number of children, you know, not knowing what I was doing and not experiencing that in my own household. So my passion and mission is all about educating and helping women any way that I can through speaking, my books, coaching, and podcast. So I am happy to be here today.
Oh, I'm glad you're here too. 15 children. What are the ages range?
8 to 32.
Wow.
And no twins. They're all single births.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't
Did you hear what she said?
I heard single birth.
She said all single birth. All single birth.
That's what I'm saying. Single birth. Is like, oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, 15
Nine
times.
Girls and six boys.
Oh,
now,
my
husband and I had 13 together, and two of them are my stepchildren. So, yeah.
Okay. That's okay. They're still yours. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow. That is wonderful. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Blessings. I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here to tell your story. It's an amazing story. So I'm sure you've gotten with Miss Laquita to tell your story and to write it, correct?
Yeah.
She said,
Absolutely.
Good, we're working
on it now. I've already signed and everything. So, yeah.
Good.
We're working on
good.
It.
Good. Okay. Okay. Absolutely. So what is the bestseller going to be entitled?
We have a title, but it looks like God is doing a new thing. I have been writing poetry for the past 3 weeks or so, and I'm not that wasn't something that I set out doing, but God is doing a new thing with me, so I don't know. We just have to stay tuned.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I'm sure Laquita will keep us in the loop and everything. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Good
thank
for you.
You.
Wow. Thank you. I'm going to see who else is on the line in case they have questions of you and Anthony. So I'm going to start with this last one. This may be Julius, but I don't know. The last four is 7176. Would you tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please? The last
this
four
is,
your telephone
is Julius.
Yes. Okay. Thank
you. Can
you
guys
Julius.
Hear me?
Yes,
hi, Julia.
Yes, you can.
Hey. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Greetings to you. So if you want to go ahead and tell your story, that's fine as well.
Absolutely. So I'm Julius Jackson, Minister Julius Jackson of Renewed Mind Spiritual and Development Center in Hiram, Georgia, under the leadership of Apostle Tony Hill. The irony of that is that I am now a minister. But 15 years ago on the 29th, I didn't want to be here. I did not want to live. The common denominator of most suicide attempts is where the enemy likes for us to operate is under the umbrella of shame. And in my situation, my shame, the shame that I was carrying in my childhood, I had three men that attempted to child molest me. Two were relatives. One was a very close family friend of my mother's. And because of the way my dad was, and I know how he would have reacted, and my mom as well, to piggyback off Lachelle, where the enemy keeps us is in isolation. If he can keep you isolated, if he can keep you from talking about it, then he has you, and you're just in this vacuum, and you're never come out. Absolutely. So I was a member of a different church about, I think it was 2012 when the song Break Every Chain came out.
Yeah,
and a young lady in the church, she stood up and she said she had been molested. I went second. I mean, when I tell you guys it was like the day of Pentecost in there, there were people in their 70s, people in their 80s, people of all ages you wouldn't have never guessed came forth and gave their testimony. It was like you could literally see the chains being lifted all on the same day because of this courage of one little girl. And I have I just recently told my mother 2 weeks ago. My dad is in a senior citizen place. He still doesn't know. I don't know if he has the mental acumen to understand it now. And he's 80, and I don't even want to bar him down with the information now.
Right.
I'm delivered from it, and I don't feel like he needs to know. My mom knows, and I just told her 2 weeks ago. But where it had me was in shame. And so it's a lot of directions you can go from attempted child molesting. You can become a predator yourself because in my situation it was men. I could have became a homosexual, but instead mine turned into rage. It turned into joining gangs, robbing people, selling dope, committing crimes to whereas it made me a felon, which was hard to maintain work and stuff like that. And to mask it, it turned me into a raging alcoholic. Alcohol was my answer to everything. To drown it, to not deal with it, to mask it, to hide it. I tried to find the answer in the bottle, wake up with a hangover, repeat the process every 24 hours. So on March 29th, 2007, just everything, my whole roof collapsed, just everything in life I was dealing with. I had a child. Me and his mother were living together. We broke up. She said I could never hear him again. I had a great job. I lost my job at 38. I had to move in the home with my father. Mm-hmm. I felt ashamed and less than a man is that. So if you count up all these things, you have this shame. You feel less than a man. You don't feel productive. And then you in the dungeons of alcoholism, extreme alcoholism. I had no hope. I had no hope. I had no peace. I was in utter torment. And it also was a design of the enemy. Now that I'm a minister and I understand Ephesians, I understand having on the whole armor of God, I now understand spiritual warfare. I didn't at the time. It was all his design. Because the enemy can see your future just like the Holy Trinity can. He knew I would become a minister.
Right.
He knew I could help others to be delivered. So he's been trying to derail me my whole life. I would drink and drive. I would get DUIs. I would be in shootouts. He has been trying to kill Julius forever because he knows so many lives I can touch and I can impact. So that's been his strategy from day one. Everything comes from the element of a good spirit or a bad spirit. It's spiritual warfare. And so that's what he has.
Yeah.
And for people who are thinking about suicide, I guarantee you they're in isolation. They haven't told anybody. And that's what he like to keep you. He like to make you feel like even though there are 8 billion people on earth, that you're the only one going through that. You're the only one. That's his ploy, that you're the only one going through it. Nobody could absolutely understand what you're going through. It's isolation. He don't want you to talk about it. He don't want you to let anybody know. And so that's his attack. So, that's my story in a nutshell. I could go on, but, I know you guys want to get on with the show and have the Q&A.
No, you're fine. Tell us the story because there are people listening. We have a few callers out here, so I'm going to go down the line and see who they are and if they have any questions of anybody. The first one is 4924. I know that's my cousin Pam out of California. I don't know if she has anything she'd like to say. Miss Pam, you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm just listening to learn. Just in case I ever have to run across anybody, I could be able to help.
Bless your heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You got people out there and you've got that hotline. And again, that hotline number is 800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K, or 8255. 8255. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Pam, for joining us. And I'm going to put you on mute and I'll come back if you, in case you do have any other questions. The next one, the last four, is 1631. Introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from, please. Or if you're just listening. You may be on mute yourself. 1631, last four, your telephone number. Okay, we will come back. And the last four is 8171. If you have any questions or you want to introduce yourself, and tell us where you're calling from. 8171, last four, your telephone number.
It's Whitney.
Well, hello. This is my niece, Whitney. How are you doing, sweetie?
I'm good.
Good.
Well, I wanted to listen and participate because it's a topic that's dear to my heart and something that I've experienced myself. And I just kind of you know, see what's, you know, some of the things that might touch me from other people's stories. And one of the things that touched me from the last story was how the thing that drives you into kind of that deep hole of depression and getting you far enough along to decide to end your life is shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot. I don't think a lot of people think that. I don't think a lot of people appreciate that coming from whatever your experiences are and not having a support system to truly embrace you and allow you to feel open to share yourself. And I'm not going to go very deep into my story, but I've had multiple attempts. Probably about 4 or 5, and I've been hospitalized a few times.
Correct.
And
correct.
The most recent one was I'm 38 now, and I was probably about 29 or so. So, and it's an unusual experience as an adult to be hospitalized for suicidal attempts. You know, everybody thinks, oh, it's just these kids going through it and that sort of thing. But no, it's a whole range. It's a whole gamut. We've seen celebrities, you know, take their own lives.
Right.
And,
yes, they have.
You know, in the prime of their lives even. And it's always there. And I think once you have decided that it is an option, you really have to convince yourself that it's not an option, because it's already been an option. You've already done it. You've already tried. You've already gone through the motions, and you've gotten yourself mentally there. So I think one of the stigmas is that as an adult, you know, everything is hunky-dory and everything is fine, and it's like a teenager thing. But truly, it's like, you know, you might have your experience as a teen, but that sticks with you, and then it's always an option. You know, if you get dark and if you don't have the support system that really helps build you up, or you're not able to talk about what your true struggles are and things like that. I think for people who are still struggling, it's always an option, you know, and that's the scary part, right? Is because you really have to grab on to something more than yourself, but you yourself have to feel that you are capable and worthy of that.
Worthy enough, worthy enough. So let me ask you this. So did you ever call the hotline, or how did you come back from your dark place?
So I've called the hotline a few times, and they're actually really great. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I think is really beautiful about it is that, you know, after your initial call, and which is usually full of emotion, and you're at that brink, and I don't really get a whole range of phone calls, but the beautiful thing about it is that they follow up with you. You know, they'll follow up with you a couple of times and, you know, check in with you, see if you have been able to get help in whatever area that you're in. They'll give you resources for that. And I think that that's really helpful, because then it feels like you're truly not alone, that this stranger who answers these phone calls all the time is checking up and following up on you. Like, you know, so I think that's really a really nice thing about the hotline, is that they do follow up, and it's not excessive, you know. They're more so there to get you to your resources, to get you to your okay place, you know.
And get you off that ledge type of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Because I know that, and that's why I had reached out to you and asked you if you just wanted to listen, if you wanted to participate. And I appreciate you, you know, opening up to participate, because there are people out there who are adults that, you know, feel like they are alone and don't have anyone to go. You heard Michelle, Julius, and Anthony. And it's like, you know, they were young and they grew up, and they still have these stigmas and still have these things. I don't know if they're still haunting them, but they now have God in their life, which is a good thing that they could turn to and talk to Him. So that's good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brittany. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us your story. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The next one is the last four, 6900. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, and if you have a story. Last four, 6900. Okay, they may be on mute. We'll come back to them. Thank you.
So, I wanted to make LaQuita. I wanted to make a comment. You know, the pandemic, especially at the height of the pandemic, we were, everybody, the whole country, the whole world was on lockdown. And with my business, I had an opportunity to collaborate with some amazing people, Lachelle being one of those people, and one of those persons. And I, she introduced me, she was speaking on a platform, and she introduced me to a gentleman who has a campaign, and I didn't get a chance to get in touch with him to invite him to be on the show tonight, but his name is Calvin Mann, and he was doing a smash suicide campaign. And as I got to know him, and I actually ended up, he actually ended up becoming a client as well. I've published one book for him and working on the second book for him. But one of the things that he shared with me, the reason for his campaign, it totally blew me away. It was the rate of suicide among young boys between the ages of 5 and 11. And I was absolutely, that disturbed me. It disturbed me, 5 and 11. And then I start thinking, well, why? But then I realized that the pandemic did a lot of harm, because here we are, they had an outlet. Going to school could have been their outlet.
Right.
But they were shut in in the house with their abusers. And I think about Julia's story, and I'm sitting here like, ah. Because of all the things that he went through, and I didn't know him, and I didn't know that, but all the things he went through, and knowing Anthony's story, and all the things he went through his children, and I'm working on Anthony's story, and so I've had an opportunity to read all of that and be in awe with, wow. But as I listen to their stories, and I listen to Julius being in the house, and I couldn't imagine these babies, 5 years old, 5, 11 years old, they're locked
in the house on lockdown in this pandemic. They're stuck with these abusers, and they had nowhere to go, and they had nowhere to turn. They don't know. They don't know the God that we know, and so the only thing they could think of was to not. They didn't want to wake up anymore, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. So, you know, so for those of you who are listening, if you've dialed in and you're listening, if you or anybody that you know is contemplating suicide, if you have some, you know, suspect that, you know, they're in a depression and they may be suicidal, you know, reach out, call that hotline, reach out on their behalf. And I want to ask LaShelle. LaShelle was hospitalized. LaShelle, you said you suffered from depression for 13 years. And how did you, 13 years, how did you navigate that with children? It's one thing that to suffer through depression and you by yourself or it's just you.
Right.
But how did you navigate that to the point where you recognized that you had to have help and you couldn't go 14 years in depression? How can you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's a great question because you know, it really speaks to what I think a lot of women go through is just doing what you got to do. You know, it's like somebody's got to be the mom and raise these kids. You know, I was fortunate to have my husband with me, but he was working all the time. He worked retail, holidays, weekends, things of that nature. He also was in the military part-time. So, and just an added information was I was an only child. So I really didn't know how to navigate through a lot of the dynamics when it comes to having siblings and that type of thing. But the thing about it for me was that my source of survival or was to have masks. You know, I had masks before they actually become required like they are today. Because every different situation, I had a different face, so to speak. You know, I had to pretend through a smile that everything was okay. I did a lot of things to where my kids' success was a part of my value. So I attached my value to outward things to get validation. And so that made it where I was able to function, you know, because if my kids were doing well and I was crossing certain things off of my list every day, you know, for other people, they didn't see anything wrong, although I was, you know, a basket case. And so I just maintained this robotic routine, going through the motions, really being numb, not really into self-care. But, you know, it wasn't that, you know, I got dressed, took a shower, got my clothes on, but, you know, it was the care of self-love that I was missing. I was pouring from an empty cup every day. And so for each of my hospitalizations.
So, Michelle, is it fair for me to say you were the great pretender?
Yes, definitely.
Illusionist
so,
is more
know.
Like it. It's like an illusionist because she had all these illusions
exactly.
of grandeur and, you know, falsifications. It's like that on that one commercial where the woman has that mask up in front of her and she's depressed. Is that basically how you were? You know, the
yes. I haven't seen that commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, part of my therapy and being able to walk away from depression is I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch the news or any of that because that was definitely a trigger for me.
Gotcha.
Because it just really led to a lot of fear. And, like, even now, you know, we've got the war and, you know, the vaccine and all this other stuff and, you know, the economy and all this. And I really
just everything.
To really watch what I put into my mind.
Good for you.
And, you know, the people that I surround myself with because, you know, a 13-year journey, you know, it gets really familiar. You know, it gets really comfortable for you. And now that I am out of that, you know, that's one of the things I face, hard conversations, hard topics every day because, you know, I don't want to get comfortable. You know, I first got out of the hospital, the best thing that happened to me was I went to a vision board party, and they had a keynote speaker, and she was an author. She got up to the podium. She introduced herself, and then she said, well, you know, I also want to say I used to be a prostitute. So everybody looked around, and so she's like, I wasn't on the street corner, but she said I was a single mom, and I had to do what I had to do to pay my bill. And she said, I can say that with conviction because I know I'm not that person anymore. And so when we learn to walk away from our past in a way to where we're empowered, where it cannot hurt us anymore, you know, we can admit it and it can lose all the power because it keeps us in bondage, you know, afraid to tell people we're depressed or afraid to ask for help or afraid that we're going to get sick and die or afraid that other people are going to find out, you know, and when you really begin to release that, that's where true freedom comes because everybody has a story. You know, everybody's story is just different.
The reason why I'm laughing is because LaQuita asked me if I wrote a book, what would the name of the book be? And that's the name of the book that I would write. Everybody has a story, then everybody, because we have the scars, we have things that we, like you say, mask. And so that would be the book that I would write. So that is so true. That's why I wasn't laughing at you, but I was laughing at everybody has a story. So that's just amazing. 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 Wow.
I love that. Thank you so much, LaShelle, for sharing. I want to go back to Anthony. And so you just recited the poem, and I want to ask you, was that your escape? Because I know you said you had your first suicide attempt at the age of 13. How old were you the second attempt?
Well, it was in my 30s. Somewhere in my 30s. I think the second time was a whole lot. It had a whole lot to do with what was going on in my marriage and trying to function as something dysfunctional, you know, wasn't good. So I think that that suicide just always seemed to be the fast way out. It's just like, I don't want to live anymore. So that's just a quick escape. I ain't got to deal with the pain. I ain't got to deal with the hurt. And so that's what
you started. So in writing, for the audience, the listening audience, Anthony is working on a book called "Will Somebody Please Teach Me How to Be a Man?" And so in reading that story, it's an amazing story. And it's not out yet. We're still working on it. But, Anthony, can you share a little bit about that story and tell us how has writing helped you from and I know we are, you know, as LaShelle said, she avoids those triggers, television and news. And I know when the pandemic first hit, I was watching the news all the time, 5, 6, 7 times a day. I wanted to know what the numbers were. And I found myself anxious. And so when I stopped, I was like, I can't do this. When I just stopped looking at the news, I still wanted to be informed, but I didn't have to see the news I didn't have to see it 10 times a day. You know, I could watch it in the morning, and then, you know, you can go on social media and see anything in the news. So when I did that, when I worried about what the numbers were, I stopped being anxious about it and stopped worrying about it and then understanding that God is in control anyway. There isn't anything I can do about any of this anyway. So I became anxious. So in your book, you talk about your suicide attempt, and you also, you know, share some of the things from the abuse. But how? Tell us a little bit about the book, and how has writing been therapeutic for you?
I guess I would have to go all the way back just a little bit. to my mother finding out she was pregnant with me. When she met my father, she was already married. Her husband was in jail for rape, and she, I guess, just decided she gonna go out, take her man off of some things, and met my father. So it was more like my daddy was typical young man, and she looked good, and they got together, bam. She ended up when she seen him, that's how it was. She seen him again, and she told him, "Hey, I'm pregnant," you know. And he looked at her, he had his drink in his hand. First, he asked her who was the lucky man, and then he threw a drink at her and walked away. And she rashed it with abortion, so she didn't want me. She didn't want me. So I literally felt that connection. Even I think, you know, once I was born, she ended up giving me away for three. You know, when I was 3 years old, I went through a lot, you know, to get to where I am now. But having that disconnection had an effect on me. But I found I used to tell my brother stories off the top of my head before I really knew it was a gift. I would tell him stories off the top of my head. And they were really good bedtime stories. So then middle school, I found myself writing a short story against all the other middle schools. We won. I won a short story contest. Then they would call on me at church, you know, all the time when they would have, like, different themes. I would get up and read a poem. And I never knew, but I never knew there was really a gift like it is. And I found that there was a release, and there was I don't know, I just found it to be soothing for my soul to actually be able to write. So I found it to be healing. It's healing in telling the story. That's why I like pain, progress, victory. I love PAPROB. Pain produces progress, and progress produces victory. So I just believe that, you know, without pain there is no progress, and without progress there is no victory.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. We go through so much, and having that breakthrough, there has to be something that can take us from the dark to the light. And so, Julius, I want to ask, before I ask Julius a question, are there, Ines, do you want to see if anybody has any questions?
I do. The last four is 9728. The line is open. Do you have any questions? Last four, 9728. Caller?
No questions. Just listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And then we have the last four, 6760. Introduce yourself. And if you're just listening, let us know that, or if you have any comments or questions of our guest this evening. Six, seven, six, zero. Okay. Listener. And then we have last four, 8993. Tell us who you are if you're just listening, and or if you have any comments or questions of our guest. Eight, nine, nine, three. Okay, they're just listening. Then we have 3281.
Hi.
Can you tell us who you are? Hi.
Okay, I'm Felicia Kelly. I'm just listening. I just tuned in. I just logged on.
Thank you so much, Felicia. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. And then, of course, we have, thank you again for joining us. We have Sergeant Parks. We have Laquita's father. He joins us when she joins us. So, Sergeant Parks, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, just a few things. This is an excellent topic. You know, somebody mentioned what's happening with young kids during the COVID. Young kids as young as 9 years old committing suicide because they couldn't go to school. You know, one of the things I would say is that there are indicators when somebody starts to feeling like they want to commit suicide that we miss.
Mm-hmm.
We totally miss. I think that is something that we need to pay attention. There was a good article this evening on the news talking about here in my area where there are so many black and Hispanic kids committing suicide within the last year. You know, young people committed suicide. So it's that's a nationwide topic, but I don't hear it. I don't hear it as we're talking about it tonight. This is the kind of conversation that we need to have. So your guests, excellent topic. I wish them well.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to say good night.
Well, hey, Dad, don't say good night before I say hello to you, Dad.
Hey, hey, how you doing, daughter?
I'm like, how you going to come all the way over the show and not even say hello to me?
How you doing, Dad? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to get in the middle of you guys' conversation. It's all gelling just so good. You know, a lot of times the best thing you can do is listen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, before you go, I have a question for you. So how would you – so you just said that there's the age, and it's – and I've you know, we've talked about this before. It's disturbing to me because that's a group that we miss because – and I think we miss it because who's thinking that a five-year-old is thinking about suicide? A 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, 11-year-old is thinking about suicide. So we've missed that group. And so we have that group, and then we have the teenagers who are committing suicide. And then we have adults who are for all intents and purposes, they are thriving on the outside. They look like they're thriving and they look good to the eye, but they're dying on the inside. So and I know you have a lot of passion and a special place in your heart for young people. What advice would you give a parent who's doing all the right things and their parent might be working and forever for whatever reasons it could be, you know, we see children committing suicide because they're being bullied. What advice would you give Dad to Sergeant Parks? What advice would you give to a parent who has a child and they're recognizing some signs? And they feel like they, you know, I think the young lady said, calling the hotline, you're talking to a stranger. You don't know if they're relating to it or they're just being robotic and just doing whatever they're trying to do. What advice would you give, Dad? I'm curious to know.
Well, as a parent, you're just going to have to try and step up your game, you know, step up your game. And anybody that's associated with you, you might have what we got going on now. A lot of grandparents is helping raising kids. It can be easily missed, so you just have to know what the signs are, step up your game, and get into some involved with people that understand what is taking place. You know, a lot of times we just think that we got it. You know, we can handle it. But we are driven in this world to succeed, to, you know, put food on the table. And, you know, so, I mean, it could very easily be missed, but you have those kind of times with your children that you sit around and you have this one specific time you want to do dinner, and then you have this specific time that you're going to do family things. So now's the time for you to pay attention. Normally what happens is that in school, something happens in school. You don't know nothing about it until the teacher calls you and say, yeah, well, Jake done did, went up one side and went down the other side, and you know that's not usually what Jake does. So now we have to pay attention. And then surround yourself around people that understand what's going on to get some kind of support. And that works as well for older people. We don't want to tell people about our hardships. We don't want to tell people about this. We don't want to tell people about that, you know. So somebody close to you will have to recognize what is going on and, you know, bring it to you. You know, this is not an easy topic. You can understand what's taking place, all the millions, hundreds of millions of billions of dollars that we spend on wars and everything else. I don't see a whole lot of money going into preventing suicide, especially when those that's committing suicide have to be people of color. Now, go back and check that out. Okay. See, so we have to look out for ourselves, but we have to recognize the symptoms and try and be there. You know.
Right.
And I think this is a great way. It's a great discussion, and I'm hoping that we reach the kind of numbers and stuff where that we can keep talking. And then, you know, there's another thing going on with the LGBTQ situation where we have a lot of kids committing suicide because they don't want to come out the closet. Okay, that's another thing that's taking place because, you know, how's everybody gonna feel about me? And then our school system is so antiquated that you got kids that's in that situation where kids are, like my daughter say, bullying them, okay,
right,
for who they have expressed to be. You see, so this is a very complicated subject, but I think we should be more in the preacher. You know, we got to go there. We can't go around the faith to try and get to the bottom of this situation. We have to go there. I just say to everybody, just need to step up their game. You know, if you know somebody and stuff that's not acting right or having problems going on, then there's a target for you to go and sit down. And a lot of times it just takes listening to somebody to be able to try and help them. So with that, I hope that answers your question, daughter. Of course, I know it didn't. But anyway, hey, this is my part.
I appreciate your thoughts.
Much love. With much love.
Wait a minute. Before you sign off, Sergeant Parks, he's going to have his segment on Thursday, August the 7th, and it's Saving the World Part 2 with Randy Gottlieb as the guest. So, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern, just the same as this evening. So if you all are available, please join us. So he's one of our regulars as a
what my show is all about is trying to reach people. You know, how can we do this without the government? How can we save our own perspective? Mm-hmm. Because the government now is not for the people. They're just a bunch of greedy people trying to protect money. Now, that's just my opinion. And my daughter will tell y'all and stuff, I'm a very opinionated man, you know.
I'm not your daughter.
Also been around the world about 9 times and stuff, so I've been able to see and feel what other people are feeling and how they living and stuff.
Right.
I would say that you got a better chance here in America than you do anywhere else, but we have our problems. And we seem to want to put our problems on the people that's causing the problems. You know, so that's what my show was all about. Keeping it real with Sodden Parks is all about reaching people. What are you guys doing, you know, to make things better?
Right.
Every little bit that we do helps. Every little bit that we do helps. You know, nobody is busier than my daughter. Okay, nobody is busier than my daughter, and everything she seems to do is all about helping people.
Let the church say amen.
It's about helping people. So I welcome you guys on Thursday if you have a chance, and all of the guests, thank God and stuff, you know, because God is calling you guys to do what you're doing right now.
To save
and
people,
other
that's
people
right.
trying to feel that, you know. And a lot of times it's not all about, you know, in the church. It's all about being the church. You know, not all about in the church, it's about being the church. So right. Hey, God bless right. you guys. I love you. I'm getting ready to try and take a little trip for a day or so. But anyway, I love you and God bless.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dave. And with that, I want to ask Julius. And Julius, with you have just such an amazing story. What advice do you give, and I know you're in the ministry, what advice do you give to young people or when you see, can you identify when you're doing your ministry, can you identify, hey, that young man looks like me, something's going on with that young man. How do you approach that person, and how do you encourage them? What do you do? What's your method?
Oh, that's absolutely amazing, because it just happened about 3 or 4 Sundays ago. A visitor, my apostle was prophesying. He always prays for visitors, people we've never seen before. And this was a family of ours, and they brought guests. And I'm not only my minister, but I'm my apostle's armor bearer. So when he's prophesying and praying, I'm down on the floor to protect him. I'm praying while he's under the prophetic virtue. And so I was standing there, and I was looking at this young man. He was like 10 or 11. And the Holy Ghost said, "You're looking in a mirror." And so the first thing I thought in my natural, I said, "Well, we don't look alike." And then he said, "Close your eyes." And I closed my eyes. And I didn't see a human being. I saw 5 letters. I saw S-H-A-M-E. And I walked over to Apostle, and I whispered in his ear, and because I do everything decent in order, I said, "Can I talk to that young man, if you don't mind? Can I pray for him?" And for anybody that just goes and does that, then you have the spirit of a Pharisee. You have to have permission. And there are some prayers that the Holy Ghost would say do aloud, and there are some he would say do private. And he told me to do this one private. And I walked up, I asked the young man to come here. I got my apostle's opinion. I talked to him, and I whispered in his ear, and he looked up at me like, "Oh, my God, how did you know that?" And because I saw the shame. And so to answer that question, let me tell you how I eventually got delivered. So, and there are people on here that's not saying anything. They need to hear this. So I'm being obedient. This is for them that will never know who they are. They'll never say anything. Here's how the enemy had me bound, and how he has most of us bound. God will forgive you of every single thing you ever do in your life, no matter how bad it is, including murder, including child molestation, except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit and not forgiving. You cannot enter heaven if you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and if you don't forgive your fellow man. He had Julius thinking that I had done so much dirt in the street. I had done so much wrong, criminally, sinfully, that there's no possible way the Holy Trinity could love me. So that's what I meant about no hope, no peace, I just thought there was no way I could possibly be loved by God and to make it into heaven. That's that shame, that's that isolation, that's that guilt, and it's just so heavy, and I kept trying to drown it in liquor and alcohol. Once you come to the realization that God loves you, that you have purpose, that you have a voice, that you have a place in the kingdom, no matter if you have a pulse or an auxiliary, that God can use you, you will get delivered from it. You will run and scream to a mountaintop. You will let them shackles go. You will know that the enemy has no victory in your life. He is to step on your head. He is to keep you in despair, keep you in darkness, keep you in loneliness, and make you think that you couldn't possibly be loved by God. And that's where I am. So now the way I mentor the young men now I tell them there's nothing you can do once you've been saved and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to lose your salvation. That's what the enemy always tries to get you to believe, that, you know, you're not worthy. Jesus nailed it all on the cross. He did it all at Calvary. He did that for people who ain't been born yet. He did that for sins that ain't even been committed yet. Once you come into that realization, once you come into that knowledge, and you come into all truths by way of the Holy Ghost, then you're delivered from that. So now there's a charge on my life to help others. He didn't deliver Julius for Julius. He delivered so I could show somebody else how to do it. So my advice to them is that there's nothing you can do that you can't come back from, that God's grace and mercy can't forgive you from. Nothing. And so that's where I get them. And to always talk about it, to never be isolated, because it will build, it will build, it will build, and the next thing you know, you're in a dungeon, and that's what the enemy desires for you to be. Just no hope, no peace. He likes us to be in torment, but God said, I would give you the peace that surpasses all understanding.
All understanding.
All understanding. But the enemy desires to have you tormented. And when you're tormented, then your mind can't be on God. Then you can't get in the Word. Then you can't study. Then you can't encourage nobody else because you're in torment. How can the blind lead the blind? So that's his desire.
I love that. Thank you so much, Julius. I appreciate you for being here. That is so true, because there has to be a way out of the darkness. And there has to be a way out of the darkness. And, you know, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, Julius, and Lachelle, and Anthony for being bold enough to and encouraged enough to come and share your story. Because I don't know, I think Lachelle may have said it, Julius, you said it, Anthony said it. We don't want to tell people what's going on with us. We want to hold it. Julius, you just said isolation. We don't want to share our shame. We don't want to tell people that we have a problem. We don't want to tell people that we're depressed because we feel like they won't understand. And the more you're right, Julius, the more we are isolated, the less likely we'll be able to share what's going on, and then it piles on and you don't have anywhere to put that.
No outlet.
And for those of you that are listening, Julius, for those of you that are listening, if you are interested in telling your story, I can help you take your story from a thought to a realization. There is always somebody on the other side of your story waiting to get healing from their story, and they don't know it yet. So calls like this are very important. This is an awesome platform, because there are people who are listening, and Julius, I'm glad you said there are people who are listening, but they need to hear it. They may not want to say anything. They may be listening through the internet, but they don't know. They didn't know before they dialed into the call or logged into the call. They didn't know that what they were looking for was in what you said, Julius, or what you said, Tony, Anthony, what you said, Lachelle, and whatever you said, it has touched somebody, even if it was one somebody on this call or that's listening to this broadcast. Somebody was listening, and they were like, this is what I needed. And so what your message has been able to help somebody who may have been contemplating suicide, and you may have given them another day, life to share, and another opportunity for somebody to reach them to say, you are good enough. Inez, I know you have some questions, but I want to share this, and I know Inez shared some statistics at the beginning of the of the broadcast. But it says suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. It is the 4th leading cause of death for adolescents ages 15 to 19 globally.
Wow.
In 2019, there were an estimated 3.5 million people who planned a suicide. 3.5 million people planned to commit suicide. 1.4 million suicides attempted. The suicide attempts, and out of that, 47,511 people succeeded.
Wow. We got work to do.
What year was that?
We got work to do.
This was 2009. This was 2019. So
okay,
this was 2019. So keep in mind, this
mm-hmm.
was before,
mm-hmm.
yes, this was before
COVID.
The pandemic. So
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
is, it has more than doubled since the pandemic, because there was an increase in every age group. There was an increase in suicide from 5 years old
wow.
to 11 years old, 15, 19
That's
age group. There was an increase in seniors. And because seniors, you know, they couldn't have, people couldn't come in the house and visit. They were lonely.
They couldn't
have
grandchildren. That's right. They just couldn't.
From the babies to the grandmamas,
mm-hmm.
they were coming
wow.
in mm-hmm. because they felt that they had no outlet. So I would like to challenge each one of us who are listening, anybody who's listening to the sound of my voice, you have that friend that gets to be real quiet sometimes. And you don't get to hear them, and they kind of seem withdrawn. Just reach out to them and tell
mm-hmm.
them you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Just call
mm-hmm.
and say, hey,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing? You have a phone call. Send them a card. Send them a note. Have a conversation, because
okay.
you don't know what they're going through. Sometimes I don't
exactly.
feel good. And sometimes, and I have a great support system, and I will tell my support
mm-hmm.
system, I am not okay. I am not
mm-hmm.
okay. And it's okay to not
mm-hmm.
be okay. But we're not saying
absolutely.
That you have to
absolutely.
Be happy.
Yep.
It's
yep.
okay to feel. It's okay to feel. So with that being said, Julius, you just said what you do. Lachelle, I want to ask, what advice would you give to, you know, your mother? You've gone through 13 years. When you recognize those signs, what advice would you give, or how would you approach that person and say, hey, I how can I help you? I notice there's something that there's something going on with you. And guys, the one thing that I love about Lachelle is that she always says, let us know how we can help. Let me know how you can help. This woman got 15 children. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, how she don't help me?
Mm-hmm.
She got 15
from,
kids.
From 8
but
to 32.
But she always asks
8
me.
To 32.
Always. And she means
mm-hmm.
it. She means it, too. She means it. She doesn't just ask just to be asking. She absolutely means it. So, Lachelle,
and you
I
know
just
why?
Asked the question.
Because
why?
She's been through it. So she knows.
Mm-hmm.
She knows the signs. And like I had a text, you know, someone says, other than the attempt, what signs do you feel you display that you wish people picked up on, or did you want people to pick up on them? She says, as a social worker and parent, I'm always concerned about missing a sign. And so, you know, people sometimes are so busy with their own lives, they're too busy to look at everybody else's life. And not only that, we say, oh, I'm fine, you know, oh, you don't want to hear about it anyway. But see, that's the type of person you want to go to. I'm here to listen. What is it that you want to say? You know, so that's
mm-hmm.
another thing that you may want to reach out to somebody. You know, oh, you know, it's nothing. You know, it's nothing that I don't want to talk about. Let's talk about it, because you may be that one person who's there at that moment to listen to that person to help them save their life. So, you know,
yes.
that's a sign in
yes.
my eye. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I'm okay. No, you don't sound okay, you know.
You're not
and
okay.
So you're not okay. And as the gentleman said, it's okay not to be okay. You know,
it's
and
okay
as
not
Le-
to
Le-
be
Peter
okay.
said, it's okay. It's okay not to be
it's
okay,
okay
because we can't have, you know, sunshiny days every day. There's going to be some days when we just don't feel like doing anything. We don't feel like getting up. We don't feel like being around people. Oh, you know, and then so in my spirit, I'll say, oh, you know, in my spirit, so-and-so was in my spirit. So I will reach out to them, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so glad you called because I wasn't feeling the best. Well, God told me, you know, this is the time when you can say, well, God told me to call you, you know, and that may be that they're saving grace because, you know, you don't know what may be the last word or the best word that you could say to them that has helped them get over that ledge, not to go over that ledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
absolutely.
I
have a friend. I have one of my friends is listening, and she's mm-hmm. one of those numbers you called out. She's just listening. She just sent me a text
uh-huh.
and said, "I love you."
Uh-huh.
Thank you. I love you too, Shauna.
mm-hmm.
I love you.
Hi, Shauna.
I love you. That's
right.
And
so
right. Can I, let me
oh,
say this real
yeah.
quick, guys.
Yes, go ahead.
And what I'm hearing is that the one common denominator is that we come with the posture of being a servant. The reason we're successful and the reason we're going to take this to the next level, because all of us, I'm putting my fingers in quotation marks, we could call ourselves victims.
Air quote.
But we don't come from that posture. We come from the posture of overcoming. So now it's our time to serve. And anytime you come humbly in the posture of a servant, God will equip you with everything you need. He will send people your way. He will absolutely make sure you cross paths with the people whose lives you can impact and change. None of us are coming high. None of us are coming haughty. We're coming in the posture of a servant, and that's the way we're going to get people delivered. You have to be a servant.
Exactly.
I love it. I agree with that. I always say God has already given us everything that he has already equipped us with everything we need to do everything that he needs us to do. No matter
you
what
have to
situation.
Go out there and do it.
So Lachelle, what advice would you give, or how would you approach somebody that you can tell is you know going down that path that you were on?
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question, and that was really something that was birthed out of this pandemic because, you know, we hear so many things about the statistics and how it's going to affect everybody, you know, because they have been on lockdown and all this, and we can quote about what the statistics were going to be, but we didn't have a plan of how we were going to overcome it, how we were going to do things differently so that it can minimize the impact that it had on people. So prayed about it, and the Lord gave me a formula, and it's called a smile. And so smile is one to remind everybody to smile, but it's an acronym for five areas that everyone needs to monitor every day to make sure that their mental wellness is okay. And so that is your sleep, mood, inner voice, laughter, and energy. So you can look at each one of those components, and if you find somebody who does seem like something is not right, you know, rather than us telling people anything, we need to begin to ask some questions. Because for me, my hardest thing was having that time to reflect. I was so much on autopilot, I didn't even know, you know, what my favorite color was. You don't have time to think. You're really trying to drown out your thoughts, whether it is staying busy, you know, just running away from being alone with yourself. And so when people begin to ask you questions that make you reflect, that's when you get your power. Because you're able to have that awareness of understanding where you're at and how you can begin to take the steps to get out of that place. So when you ask someone, how much sleep have you been getting? You look like you're a little tired. You know, that is like an opportunity for them to evaluate themselves, because I believe there is no hero coming for anybody. So if we're believing that somebody's going to come and, you know, open up the windows of heaven and save us from our situation, you know, God has already done that. But in the meantime, he equipped us individually with everything we need. And so we're blinded. We are deafened to the power that lies within us. So it's a matter of getting people back to that awareness that they are enough, and giving them the tools that they can definitely be in a situation to where they can get themselves to where they need to be, whether somebody is there with a lifeline or not. So those are my thoughts.
Right.
Thanks so much for the question. It's great.
Thank you. Julius had to drop off. He just came in.
Yes, he did.
Came in from a 16-hour drive, so he's exhausted.
Oh, Lordy.
So he said thank you so much. He enjoyed the conversation. So we would definitely be in touch.
Thank
you so much, Judy, for your for being our guest and for your input and for that message.
And thank you so much, Lachelle. I know that you you mentioned that you have a daughter who's going through some depression issues, and just, you know, and I know you got a system going on, and it's just, I'm always amazed that there are, you know, I'm a no excuses kind of person. So I love, Lachelle has this thing that she says, just do what, Lachelle?
Just do today.
Just do today. Can you tell us what does that mean, just do today?
Yes, so often we are focused on tomorrow, next week, next month. You know, we're so busy trying to focus on impressing others sometimes, you know, that we lose sight of the power that we have today to really be present, you know, because a lot of our mindset is really just stripped away when we're focused on the past and when we're dealing with anxiety of the future. So when we really get a chance to be present where our feet are, you know, by just doing today, we're not taking on too much, and we're able to really manage life's issues in a way that's possible just by taking it one day at a time. So when we think about just doing the day, and the word says it, you know, don't worry about tomorrow because it has its own worry. Just do today.
Just do today. You heard it. You heard it from America's Supermom herself. So, Anthony, what advice, the same question for you, you recognize, and you're around a lot of people every day. You come in contact with different people. What advice would you give? You see somebody, a young man that you know, look like that they're where you used to be. How would you approach them, and what advice would you give to help them to not go down that path, or to turn the corner?
I think it's important to be transparent. You have to be transparent with people, and people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. So you got to show people that you care. You got to show people that you love, that you have love in your heart, that you genuinely care. And I think that's the most important thing, that people need to know you care. There's a lot of people that's trying to work through a lot of different things in their life that some of them have a hard time getting over. I had a hard time getting over stuff. But when we can embrace God's forgiveness for us, and then forgive ourselves, and definitely have to forgive our fellow man, we can move forward and just take life one day at a time, one day at a time.
I love that. Is there, Ines, can you see if anybody else has any questions on the line?
I know my niece's number is still unmuted. If she wants to say anything. Whitney, you want to say anything else?
I really appreciate the topic and the enlightenment and the empowerment of making it through, you know, and just the strength that people continue to have to get there, you know, and
right.
I think it's important. I think Sergeant Parks was it, you know, he just said, you know, we have to be the church. We have to be like our own empowerment and help to empower our own communities. And I think that's really important, and taking notice to how people are struggling and the things that are a little bit different. And it was mentioned also that, you know, oh, hey, does somebody, like, how are you sleeping? How are you doing? You know, like, looks like you're a little low energy, things like that. So I think also looking outside of ourselves to be more aware of the people we care about is really important, because there are always the signs. And so it's really important to kind of look outside of yourself to see how a person is displaying things that are abnormal as to who they truly are and what you know their spirit to be. And just to look at them spiritually and have that moment
and listen to the higher power to say, you know, how can I help this person? I feel something, you know, and just to be aware of that and be open to asking those questions and having that conversation. So this has been a really great topic. It's, like I said, it's touched me and I really appreciate it. And I think it's a really great opportunity to open the lens of the spectrum that it affects. And you know, it's one of those things. It's, you know, call your loved ones, call your friends, call people, especially if you're not able to visit. You know, just take a moment, like pencil it down. I'm going to call these couple of friends today and, you know, just check in. And so I think that's a really nice attribute to that. But I appreciated the conversation very much so.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad you were here. And we do have a gentleman, Dustin from Atlanta. You want to say something?
Sure. You know, as I listen to all the stories, and I appreciate everybody sharing their stories, I found out in life that, you know, sometimes people just need to hear something nice. And, you know, it doesn't take much to say hello. It doesn't take much to say good morning. And it really doesn't take anything at all to say, hey, are you okay? And you'd be surprised how many people just need somebody to say, are you okay? And it doesn't have to be somebody you know. It could be the person standing in front of you at Dunkin' Donuts, and you can see they're having a bad day, and they're counting their 70 cents trying to get a coffee. Like, look, I got $2. Let's just get you a coffee. You know, are you okay? How's your morning going? And that little bit saves lives. And people just, ever since COVID, especially since COVID, you can't see if people are smiling. You can't see if people are sad. Mm-hmm. All you can, you know, so you take the chance. And, you know, I try to do that every single solitary day. And I try to, you know, pay it forward. One day at a time.
Right.
It's okay. Today is just today. Let's work on tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. And we can't do nothing about yesterday, so leave it alone. But that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That kind of confirms what we were talking about earlier, because I was going to say that before you called in. I was going to say I have a friend who always is at Dunkin' Donuts and goes in there with a happy attitude. And if he sees somebody who's not having such a happy attitude but doesn't kind of respond, he'll go and talk to them. Those are the type of people who you need to approach to help them feel better. Because I'm so glad you called in, Dustin. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
No problem.
Laquita?
I love that. I wanted to share, I just published a book for a client, and it's called My Silent Story. And if you have a chance, go on Amazon. The book is available on Amazon. It's a new book. It's called My Silent Story, The Gun That Saved My Life. And this is written by Jordan Johnson Christy. He has written this book, and he talks about his suicide attempt. And it's an amazing story because he talks about trying to he talked about the different ways that he was going to commit suicide and the reasons why he didn't choose those particular ways. And he talks about, you know, how he did and the journey and everything that he went through. And he survived suicide, but with the pain and the trauma and all of the repercussions or the outfall from it, because suicide doesn't just affect the individual, it affects your whole family.
Correct.
It affects your friends.
Correct.
It affects everybody around you. He talks about now the difference is then he didn't want to be here. He didn't want to feel pain. And now he understands that feeling the pain is how you stay here.
you have to feel it, you have to process it, you have to go through it, you have to overcome it, and those are those growth steps. So if you have a chance to get the book, it's a really compelling story. It talks about his why and how he survived it, and it's a memoir. So his name is called My Silent Story, The Gun That Saved My Life. So his suicide choice was firearm. And of course he's still living, and he was 17 years old at that time.
My. And what's his name again?
His name is Jordan Johnson Christie. And just My Silent Story, The Gun That Saved My Life. So parents with teenagers, teenagers act out. That's just their DNA. They act out.
Uh-huh.
Everybody that has teenagers know they act out. But when they start, as my dad said, when they start acting out of sorts and acting uh-huh. unusual and, doing things outside of the norm, then
uh-huh.
Take action. Mm. Talk to
right,
them.
Right.
Find out what's going on. How we're writing notes and finding notes. Don't overlook it. Don't just say, okay, well, I have mm-hmm. these notes and they're feeling a little depressed, but they'll be fine. No. Take that very seriously. Take it very seriously.
Correct.
In worst case scenario, the teenager is being a teenager. Best case scenario,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
save your child from a suicide attempt.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anais, can you give the hotline number again?
I sure can. It's a lifeline, not a hotline anymore. It's called the Prevention
Lifeline.
And that's that. You're fine. 800-273-TALK, TALK, which is 8255, 800-273-8255.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been an amazing, amazing discussion. And I know Anthony has to drop off and want to see if he had any final comments before he said goodnight.
Before he does, can he read his poem again, please?
Yeah. Can you recite your poem again?
Oh, okay. Sure will. Suicide is a gateway to eternal loss is the name of the poem. Here I sit with a gun cocked to my head. I figure out that somehow I'm better off dead. My life seems a wreck and there is no peace. So I shall end it all and be found deceased. Lights out, total darkness, the bullet entered in. Never again shall I see the light of day again. For a brief moment, I found rest in my troubled mind. But all of a sudden, my eyes are open and I'm not blind. I see myself floating swiftly to that eternal light. Before I knew it, I ended up in eternal night. Darkness, people screaming, and now I'm gripped with fear. I beg of you, don't take your life. Please don't come here.
That was it. Mm-mm. Amen. Yeah.
Any comments?
I'll give a man a hand clap. Yes. Beautiful.
Inspire people to know that it's a dead end. I mean, I had
in more ways than one.
I had kept begging God. I didn't want to be here no more. And the Spirit of God mm-hmm. spoke to me and said, "That's not love. If I just took you like that, that's not love." And I realize every day that when God gives you purpose, I ain't saying it's
mm-hmm.
easy. It's not, especially when you come from a rough past. But when we realize how much God loves us, that's the key to healing. So I wanted to say that.
Bless you. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. And you can come back to my show anytime with a poem. It doesn't matter what kind of poem. That was wonderful.
As Brother Jude, what's his name, Julius? Like he said,
mm-hmm.
we're just servants. That's all. To God be the glory to take my mess and turn it into a message.
That's right.
God bless
you.
God bless you richly, and God bless all the listeners.
Thank you. And they've enjoyed your stories and everything, too. And the reason why I came up on this is because of a story that Laquita had. We were talking last week on publishing, and I said, oh, let's talk about when suicide doesn't work, because she had talked about Jordan's book. I said, she says, okay, all right. So I'm just so glad that you guys were able to stop by for a moment and lend your ear and your voice to these listeners out here worldwide, wherever you are listening. You have someone who will listen at 800, what's the number, dagnabbit, 800-273-8255. So thank you again, Anthony, Lachelle, and Julius. But, you know, stay with us for, you know, we got another about 20 minutes before we end the show. So if anybody has any questions, let me know, text me or text Laquita and say, I have something you want to say. So thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Anthony. Thank you. You're still here as a servant.
Thank you. Laquita? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask, Lachelle, do you have any comments that you want to, any advice that you would give to a young person?
Yeah, I think we covered, yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. We covered a lot of things, and the one thing that I want to highlight is that you are enough. You know, we compare ourselves way too much to other people, and, you know, it just comes to mind the image of, you know, if God made you an orange, it doesn't matter how much you try to be an apple, it just is not going to work. So when we look at the outside, we don't know what that person is, because you cannot look at the outside to determine the inside character. So while we think that we can just emulate what somebody else is, we really need to go to God and recognize that He made us fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're enough just as we are. So that would be the one thing. And then I'm going to read a poem, one of my poems that I wrote, and it's called Just One Step at a Time is How We Proceed, because patience is what we need. Oftentimes we forge ahead with no directions in our head, only to find out later how much damage we have caused. We miss all the proceed with caution signs and often fall hard like a casualty of war. How can this be? Because our life is dictated by our decisions. Daily we choose our path, yet stumble due to our own vices. Change is possible for everyone who believes. The real question is, who will we obey? Absolutely no one knows the day that Jesus is on the way. So my only advice is simply trust and obey. So
nice.
One day at a time.
Yes.
One day at a
time.
Lachelle, now I know you recently started writing poetry, and is that another method? We all know how I feel about writing is therapeutic. Another? After you've written your, because I know that you're led to write these poems, how does that add to your things to do to keep your anxiety or your depression at a bay, at a minimum, like you don't watch television and the news? Does writing your poems, have you found that they are even more helpful?
Very much so, because these poems are not even on my mind. You know, every morning I have a new writing. And it has just been this past 3 weeks, you know, because I was reading a lot of books on the brain and how we can, you know, really change our mindset. And so I learned mm-hmm. that 90% of the things that we think about are old stuff, and only 10% is new. And I thought, man, God, why does that happen? And he said to me, because you don't write it down. So you don't even capture that 10% because you don't write it down. So that's when I started writing every morning. Every morning, you know, he gives me a download. And so I just write whatever he tells me to write. So it's been great for me to have a deeper relationship with him and to really just stay at his feet in his presence. So that's really what I've gotten from this life.
That's wonderful.
Beautiful. I just got a text from Shauna saying that the poem was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. So I want to give a book of poetry.
Yes.
It's like witnessing a miracle every day. That's the way I look at it, because I definitely am not a poet. You know, I mean, I didn't even write them as kids or anything. So this is definitely the handwork of God.
I was getting ready to say, don't ever tell you what God has given you, because he may give it to you later in life. So you talking now about your, you know, these poems, just because he didn't give it to you at the age of 5, 6, or 7, doesn't mean he's not going to give it to you at this age now to help somebody along in their journey.
Amen.
So you don't know what talents God has for you until you start using them. It's like, oh, well, thank you, God. I didn't know I had this in me.
Amen.
There's a lot you don't know about yourself until you sit down and have a talk with God.
Amen. So
I love that. I love that. So I want to share some additional statistics on suicide. It says the new data from the CDC shows that the overall suicide rate in the United States declined during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, listen to those key words, overall. However, suicide deaths for young adult males and people of color increased.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised.
In three age groups, 10 to 14 years, 15 to 24 years, and 25 to 34 years increased.
Mm-hmm.
And while suicide deaths decreased amongst white and Asian males, deaths increased for Black, American Indian, Alaskan Native, and Hispanic males.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it says during the pandemic, about 4 in 10 adults in the U.S. have reported symptoms of anxiety or depression. Experiences such as depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts have been more prevalent during the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly for youth and young adults, caregivers, frontline workers, Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Yeah, we don't get a break, do we?
I don't think we're supposed to.
We're supposed to.
I really don't think we're supposed to,
An individual's personal risk factors combined with precipitants such as evolving experiences with isolation. That's what Lachelle, Julian, and Tony talked about, being alone, depression, anxiety, economic stress, suicidal ideation, and access to lethal means may lead to periods of increased risk of suicide.
Wow. I'm just glad that we had this discussion. I'm so glad that we're reaching people, because it doesn't have to be. You know, if someone would just take the time to listen and notice, oh, my friend doesn't look good, or, you know, they just aren't as happy as they used to be, you know, go to that person. But then again, a lot of times God directs you to people too. Does he not? Does he not direct you to people?
I believe. You know, I say if you have an overwhelming desire, sometimes people say, you know what, I was thinking about you and I just called you, and this happened to me today. I found out a couple of things that was a little disappointing. Sometimes people can do some underhanded things, and I opened up my laptop and I went to a page, a Facebook page, and there was a post that somebody did, and it was immediately brightened my day, because I was like, wow, that made me smile, and that turned my, as they say, turned my frown upside down. So sometimes it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a few minutes of listening or reaching out to somebody, just to let them know that they are not alone in this world and that people care. And, of course, sharing your story, because Lachelle shared her story. I can relate to her because or she can help me if I'm dealing with depression. She can help me because she has not only been involved in it, she has overcome it. So she's reached the breakthrough, and doesn't mean that she doesn't have she has to keep working on it. She can help me. She can tell me what to do. And so with that being said, Lachelle, if there are people who are listening and they can use your service, tell us what you do and how can people reach out to you to obtain your services?
Yeah, well, thank you again for that, and I just appreciate this opportunity to be here. This has just been a dynamic conversation. I love the fact that there were men on the call. I mean, that just to me, speaks volumes, because so many men suffer in silence because, you know, they're not supposed to cry. They're supposed to be strong, all these different things. Mm. So I just wanted to definitely acknowledge that. But you can reach me on pretty much any social media platform under America's Supermom. The services that I provide here during the pandemic, I have a membership, and it is a monthly opportunity for women to come into a group setting. It's a community to where we meet weekly to talk about some of these hard topics and really create strategies around goal setting, establishing healthy boundaries, knowing how to speak confidently. So just a number of different topics that we address, and that's what I offer. If anyone has any insights or things that they want to share with a larger audience, I always welcome them to come on my platform, my podcast, as a guest, being able to share their insights, whether it's business insights or, you know, overcoming their own story and journey, regardless of what that is. I definitely encourage that as well. I'm also a speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, if you need someone to speak on the topics of depression, overcoming, parenting, networking, marketing, those are pretty much my specialties. So that is pretty much me in a nutshell. And they can be on the lookout for my book that's coming out. It's going to be published by Pay-Per-V.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
It would be phenomenal. Whenever we don't rush. We can't rush greatness.
No. We do have another call
I was going to say, I also have a YouTube channel as well, and there's a lot of master classes that I have that are free.
I have a lot
of content.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Mm-mm-mm.
Did somebody else come on? Somebody else join? I mean,
we had 3323, they just joined, and if you want to read us and tell us where you're calling from, the caller was 3323.
Calvin, man.
Hey, Calvin. This is Calvin Mann. I talked about him earlier. This is the young man who has the mass suicide campaign. Calvin, thank you so much. I did reach out to him. He was in an interview, and he said he would hop on when he finished his interview. But Calvin,
wonderful.
Thank you so much. You're talking about when suicide doesn't work, and I shared with them when I met you, and you told me the statistics on young boys committing suicide from age of 5 to 11. I was just blown away by that. And I also shared with them that you're also a client, too, PayProV client. And so, Kevin, I thought it was important for you to come on and talk about what Smash Suicide is, what your campaign is. What does that mean?
So we had decided that the way to smash suicide from years of our work was simple, right? And we call it a smash suicide campaign because we found that these three things were important: engage, empower, and encourage. 7 years of work, not ever, thank God, losing a young, dying by suicide. And so we begin to look at what was, how could we smash suicide? And this formula has been around, but just in different ways. But in my path, we took the information and we developed the Smash Suicide Campaign to bring awareness that boys 5 to 11 were passing away. But suicide, the suicide information is so impactful because some of us have lost friends dying by suicide, and you never knew what the diagnosis was, right? And
wow.
And Johnny, Johnny died, right? But the family didn't come out and tell you Johnny took his own life, right? We still see suicide culturally as an embarrassment. Like, you know, we put a lot of pressure on God and asking God to prevent suicide when we got doctors and medical, mental health practitioners and now they're talking. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Now we can, yes.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, okay. We can hear you.
And so now they're talking SIMS, self-injury morbidity. Right, and so the opioid crisis, suicidal decisions, there are a number of things that when you start really getting further into this situation, and, you know, a lot of people might not like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell you, it comes back to one of the major answers is healthy fatherhood. Yep, because 63% of all suicides come from fatherless homes.
Oh, that's sad.
Huge.
That's really sad.
That's huge.
Sad.
And culturally, it's on all of us as well.
That's true. That is true. And so that's a good reason as well as to have mentors, you know, around these young men, because if you don't have good mentors.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody to turn to go to. And as the Anthony and Julius were saying earlier, you know, you feel the same because you don't have anybody to turn to tell your story to who will listen. So, Thank you.
Yeah, it's not that you. As I was just talking, right? So,
right.
It's more impactful when we really take a look at the whole body of it, right? And if we take the blame out, right? So let's take the blame out. Let's take the parenting, the poor parenting, the divorce, the molestation. Let's take those things out, right? So let's take blame out. What you still have is the world needs a solution, right? And they need to practice a healthy solution, right? And culturally, our community, right? We chase more today the dollar than we do the result
of the children. So in a single household versus a two-parent household, right? It's very tough, right, for women to have to raise girls and boys. It's very, very tough, right? It's very tough for any single parent to raise a child and expect the child to have balance. See? So what happens is, I was interviewing my first NIL client for my apparel, and the mom said, she said, as brilliant as he is on the football field and all the other things, he still lacks confidence. Right? He still lacks confidence. And she said, I just don't understand why. I said, you're not a male, so let me point to you why. If you cut on the TV, if you pick up a newspaper article, if you cut on sports, if you cut on the internet, if you cut on anything that has to do with visual, music, everything, the male is under constant attack. Right? The female is under constant attack, but she has thousands and thousands of programs. See? They put 8.2 billion dollars in women and girls programs. They put 7.1 in 2019 in women and girls programs. Research and tell me where you can find what they put in boys programs and men's programs. We have been decimating men for over 60 years. So, of course, our boys can't read. Of course, our boys can't be nurtured and cared for. Of course, right? But what is changing is men are fighting for their children. We are starting to gain an even more advantage in the court fighting for our children. States are starting to go shared parenting. If we can expedite that, maybe we can get a little more balance around a boy. If we can get out of having kids out of wedlock and side pieces and lack lust, maybe that's a whole other dynamic, right? Maybe we have more children of love, right? But these are the things, right? These are the things that we have to change, not they. We give they more than we give we.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. Because, men don't get the, accolades that they deserve for raising a child. Like,
No.
And it's sad. It's sad because, men can't raise a child. Yes, they can. There's a lot of good men out there who can raise children better than some women.
We're out here.
So
I tell you this right now.
Yes.
We're out here.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a conversation, and the guy said, "Kale." He said, "How many?" He said, "Man, I think I got one or two guys that I would consider deadbeat fathers. How many deadbeat men, that hang around with you?" I said, "None." I said, "I can go through my phone right now. Every man in my phone is a decent father. He's fighting to see his kids, or he has access to his children, or he's in the home with his children. In my phone, there are no deadbeat dads. In my phone is over 1,000 numbers.
Oh, stop it.
Majority of the phone numbers in my phone are male.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
None of them. Nobody can call my phone and be a deadbeat dad. I ain't going for it.
You're not having that. Yeah, you're not having it. You don't sound like the type of person.
I'm not having it. So, if we set the standards, now, as I posted recently, we got to get back to marriages. But the problem with men remarrying is we have our women have a financial mindset, where it exceeds, and our men, because I've been single I got my own house. I got my own car. I got my own bills. I don't want to jeopardize that to become last. See, because society say when I get into a relationship, I have to put myself last. I said, except for when you see your woman as a partner. When we start looking at each other as a partner versus a spouse, or she has to be submitted and I'm the head. And right, when you get out of that mindset, you look across the aisle, you see somebody who got goals and dreams too.
Right, right.
But what you're seeing more and more and more, more each day, what you're seeing more each day is, here's another thing that has to change, how we do divorce. It has to change. Men are not marrying. And here's this statistic going to blow you away, because this statistic is real. Black women are the only women that have a higher divorce rate than a marital rate. Nobody else in the world other than African-American women have a higher divorce rate than they have a marital rate.
I believe it.
Wow, Kevin. This is amazing. Listen, Calvin is one of my best people. He has an amazing platform, and I think it would be a wonderful idea for you to invite Calvin onto your platform to talk about all of the amazing things that he is doing. I'm getting messages saying they agree with you, Calvin. It's true. It is so true. It's amazing. This has been, Calvin, I know you had something going on, and we're going to have you come back on to Inez's show. It has been absolutely amazing. This has been a really, really great discussion. It's 11 o'clock, and it's time for me to go to bed.
it's the early, girl. It's the early. So, Mr. Calvin, next Tuesday, what are you doing? Next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You have to let me check my schedule. I'll send a message to LaQuita.
Okay.
I know I got respect. So my brother just got a head coaching job, and my cousin just got a head coaching job, and I got
congratulations
respect day tomorrow.
To them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. They're both college coaches. They're the first two young men I ever mentored and coached. And so just excited about that. But let me check my schedule for next Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. All
right.
And
I'll
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll let LaQuita know no later than Thursday. I got to get ready for Respect Day, which is tomorrow is Respect Day. We got the schools. We got, you know, where the kids are relearning respect.
See, and that's another thing that we could talk about.
Calvin. I'm sorry. Calvin has a book coming out, too, about – tell her the name of the book, Calvin.
Things Fathers Should Say is for mothers with sons and children, Things Fathers Should Say, and then I'm doing an ebook at the same time called 15 Things You Didn't Know About Fatherhood.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about that. If you're available next Tuesday, we'll talk about that.
Great advice. You bring some great advice here. Great advice.
Yes. I will wait, and if not next Tuesday, whenever you are available, I will create a day for you. I will create a day for you, Mr. Calvin.
No, thank you.
So not to be silly, but you know, these are the type of men we need in our life now, not yesterday. Well, yesterday, but now and forward, because as Anthony and Julius were talking about, you know, being molested and not having somebody in their life, you know, it's not right. It's just sad that so many young men don't have the right type of mentors. And the same with women. So we're going to have a day for mentors for men and women. And we're just going to go forward so that we can keep our families together and create families so that we can keep families, because that's another thing. I mean, I've been married 2 times, and it's like, okay, somebody asked me, would you get married again? It's like, well, So I appreciate it. It's like what Peter said, it's getting late, so we will talk. And if anybody has to drop off, that's fine. I will thank everybody on the line and so on and so forth. And you, Mr. Kelvin, get with Laquita and let me know what your schedule is. And I can go through and see if anybody has anything to say. But, you know, there's quite a few callers. We still have 10 callers listening. So we just appreciate everybody on the line listening and sticking with us from, you know, after 11 p.m. Eastern time, because a lot of people are from the West Coast. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But Laquita, do you have any last words?
I just want to say again, this has been an amazing discussion, and I want to thank the guests, Anthony Wallace and Lachelle Atkins, America's Supermom, Julius Jackson, and Calvin Mann. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Thank you for the courage to tell your story. I respect each of you. I am so grateful. And Julian, if you're still listening out there, I know you got a story. You just told us your story. So we can help you take that story from a thought to a realization, and you can be able to help a multitude of people with your written story. I am just honored that Anthony, to call Anthony and Lachelle and Calvin clients and for trusting me with their stories. We all have a story, and again, there is somebody waiting on the other side of your story to heal from their story. So for the people who are listening, if you've ever thought about suicide, or if you're contemplating it, or if you've tried it, or if you're feeling depressed and in despair and you don't know what to do or which way to turn, please know that you are loved. You are loved, and there is help for you. Mental illness is real. It's just as real as lupus and arthritis and heart disease, and it's real. And there is nothing wrong with telling somebody you need help. And it's nothing wrong with not being okay, because some days I'm not okay. And I just want to say, you know, from Pay-Per-View Publishing, if there's anything I can do to help you, you can reach out to me. You can reach me at www.paprovipublishing.com. That's paprovipublishing.com. Message me through my website and let me know how I can help you take your story from a thought to a realization. Anthony Wallace, if you're interested in, he is an author, four-time author, working on book number 5. He is also the author of several children's books. You can reach him, connect with him through Pay-Per-View Publishing as well. Lachelle Atkins also, she told you how you can find her on social media. Connect with her through the Elephant Strategy Group. And Calvin Mann, Encourage Me, I'm Young. Calvin, I got your song going in my head, your video. Encourage me, I'm young. Encourage me, I'm young. Encourage me, I'm young. God. And and so we're this is our attempt to do what Calvin is doing, and that's smash suicide, period, on every age level.
Thank
you, Miss Inez.
Thank you
for roping me into yet another one of your shows.
Well, I'm just gonna have you as my little forget me as the main person. We're gonna be just talking and let's talk about it. But no, we just appreciate each and every one of our worldwide listeners, as well as our on the line listeners and callers. And if you have anything you want to say, you can go to letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I'll answer your email. If you want to get in touch with anybody, if you don't remember anything else, letsdoitradio@gmail.com, or text me, or if you know Laquita, text her, and you can get in touch with any one of us, and you can share each and every one of these on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, tweet, you know, this, that, TikTok, won't stop, gotta stop, anything. But don't forget to share on social media platforms that you have anytime we have shows. And you can listen to any of the previous episodes on demand anywhere from whenever we started Let's Do It Radio. They're out there from years ago. So you can just go to the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. That's doitallinthemall.com. And click on the radio icon on the right-hand side, and it'll take you to the episodes, and you can listen, check them out, and we don't mind. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to our guests, to Laquita, Anthony, Michelle, and Julius, and their fabulous stories, and Mr. Kelvin. We're going to have him back on the show, as Laquita said, and he said he's going to check his calendar. Hopefully it checks out for us. And remember, no matter what you are going through, you are not alone. You have a listening ear. The National Suicide Lifeline is 800-273-8255 or TALK. We want to hear from you before we can't hear from you. So don't let it be too late so we can talk to you. Please, please, please. And if you need to email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com and, you know, we get you in touch with somebody, we will do that. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Valcour Design, A-N-A-I-S-E, Valcour, V-A-L-C-O-U-R, Designs, at www.anaisevalcour.com. I design clothes. I'm a fashion designer. And the same on Facebook and Instagram. Again, thank you all for joining in. Don't keep it to yourself. If you got something on your chest, join us again on next Tuesday on Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. We can discuss your topic. We want to thank you again. Peace out. Be happy. And be happy in the skin you're in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to have a, as I call it, the Do It All in the Mall closing prayer. And blessings to each and every one of you. Stay safe. And please reach out to someone. Don't give up and don't give in, but give a lending ear.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all Amen. Again. Please join us at next week, same time, same station, and Sunday we have Sunday service with A Time to Decree with Pastor B, and that's at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. Thank you again, each and every one of you. You guys have made me happy that you joined us on this evening. Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it when suicide doesn't work. Blessings to each and every one of you. Stay safe and reach out to a friend who you have not heard from in a while. Amen. Blessings.
Good night.